and I invite you to turn with me to our scripture lesson for today, which also forms a portion of the foundation for today's message. You'll find the scripture recorded in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, and we begin our reading with verse 6. This is the word of the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now here's the secret of this passage. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I have sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Thus far, the sharing of scripture for this Sunday morning. Today we come to the conclusion of a 5-Sunday series of messages which I never intended to bring. The plan was that we would during this time frame, begin the series of sharings on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But obviously, Father God had other thoughts or plans, and you can only dispute with the Lord for so long, and as most all of you know, ultimately, he prevails. And so, without really knowing exactly where we were headed, I said, okay. And the theme which the Lord gave to me was standing strong in the day of turmoil and stress. Standing strong in the days of turmoil and stress. And so we looked at 5 different areas where we are enabled to stand strong, not by our own strength, or not by the strength of others around us, not by the effectual work of a government or other entity that we might bring forth, but solely, strictly, by the power of Almighty God. And so we looked at 5 different examples of what I would identify today as the power of God to stand strong. This is a power that is only given by Almighty God. There is no other source for this power and this strength to come to an individual or a group of individuals, or for that matter, for a nation. There are more than five, I believe, but these are the five that the Lord has given us at this time. The first of all is that the Father has given to us the power of the blood of Jesus. The power of the blood of Jesus. And as we look at that message, the first Sunday of October, part of the word that the Lord gave to us at that time is that as we pray individually or collectively, we need to pray over whatever or whomever the sprinkled blood of Jesus, because the power of the blood of Jesus is not effectual if we don't apply it, if we don't declare it, if we don't walk in its reality. It's not just a theological position or idea. It's a power, it's a force, and it's a force and a power that is utterly beyond anything we could ever imagine. And the sadness of this is that the church has failed over the centuries to powerfully, clearly declare what this power of the blood of Jesus is able to accomplish. But we are putting this here in this congregation into practice. When we pray for you, we pray for the sprinkled power of the blood of Jesus to be over you and over your concerns and over your situations. That's number one. Number two is the power of personal private prayer. I don't know anything about anyone else's prayer life because I don't hear people say much, testify much about their prayer life. I don't know. I only know about my prayer life. I know that when I first came into the ministry and was about the affairs of a local congregation, I had very little time, at least I thought, that I had very little time for private personal prayer. Being married, being a father of twin children and all the responsibilities that went with the congregation and the 12th grade school, it just never really seemed like there was a call or pressure for private personal prayer. What a loss. What a loss those years were. But as I grew in the Lord, in the knowledge of His Word, I began to discover how critical, how absolutely critical private personal prayer is. And that's why we began that reading in Scripture today with the words of Father God, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while He may be found. We seek the Lord in our prayers, in our conversations throughout the day with the Lord. That's seeking the Lord and meeting with Him in personal prayer. Number three was the power of personal faith, or as I wrote it then, godly faith. This isn't just believing in believing. This isn't just faith in whatever. I heard someone say many years ago, it doesn't matter what you believe so long as you believe something. That's utter foolishness. It does matter what we believe. It does matter in whom we believe and trust. And our faith needs to rest on the mighty, mighty power of Almighty God. And when that faith is strong, godly faith, then we can release that faith into the circumstances where we find ourselves. When you come upon a situation that is beyond yourself, when we are confronted with worldwide events that are beyond ourselves, beyond our powers, our government, our experience, our knowledge, we rely on the faith, the godly faith that Father God has given to us and has spoken unto our hearts. He said that when the enemy comes in like a flood, I, not you, I will raise up a standard against him. Either we have faith in that or we don't. We apply, we exercise, we distribute our faith into these circumstances. When we said to Ruth, when you go to that Bible study, we will pray for you. And in my heart of hearts, I've got faith that this is going to be a wonderful evening. And her testimony today is there. The faith to pray, the faith to believe, the faith to exercise the privileges that we are given. Exercising faith is not an obligation, it's a privilege. And that exercising of your faith in various circumstances not only produces a testimony, but it empowers others to believe. As you testify, as you give evidence of your faith in the days of difficulty, challenge, or crisis, or whatever, this encourages, this lifts up the ability and strength of other people to lay hold of the same faith which is at work in you. And then the fourth power that we spoke about on the fourth Sunday is the power of worship, the wondrous power of worship. The Bible declares in the book of Psalms, Psalm 22, that Father God is reigned on the thrones of the praises of his people. He's exalted. He's lifted up. Or another way to see this is, as we worship, as we declare and exalt and lift up the Lord, his power is released into those circumstances and at that time. I can't compare. I don't know how to compare. The times of my life, as I look back over worship, gathered worship, where I've ever experienced such a reality of power and strength as when we worship together. When we worship together, lift up the Lord, exalt his name, his power is released. No worship, no praise. We're not going to see the release of his power in our daily lives or in our circumstances. Now, today, we come to the fifth and final expression of the power, and that is the eternal power of the Word of God. Now, I don't know how this managed to work itself out, but on the one Sunday of all the Sundays of the year, when the Church of Jesus celebrates the Scriptures, the Word of God, how is it possible that this fifth message ends up on this Sunday, at this time, in this place, if it were not for the plan of Almighty God? There is absolutely no way for us to capture the 400 and some years in which the victory of the Word of God over tradition and human authority manifests itself. But throughout these years, throughout these centuries, the Word of God, when it is applied and when it is used and when it is believed and followed, it brings about power. It causes results. And as we consider that word today, I have a couple scriptures that I want to share with you. I want to explore for a couple moments with you why the Word of God has power. Why is this so? And I put together here three reasons from Scripture. There's no other way to come at this except from the Word of God itself, from Scripture. Three reasons why the Word of God has such immense power. Number one, because the word of the Lord has been written by the Holy Spirit. I just wish every Christian would get hold of this truth. I keep hearing, whether it's on Christian radio or testimonies or wherever, Paul wrote this, Moses wrote that, Timothy wrote this, on and on and on. And so we study the life of Paul, we study the life of Timothy, we study the life of Moses to see why he said, folks, that's baloney. That's pure baloney. That is misguided truth. The truth is, the Holy Spirit wrote the scriptures. Now, yes, he used people. There had to be some instrumentality to get the word of the Lord from the Lord into the people. And so he used human instrumentalities, whether it's Moses or Paul or Mark or John, or it doesn't matter. The matter is, it's the power released because it's written by God himself. This is the word of Almighty God. And so that is why the miracle, the utter miracle of being able to see consistency from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation covering thousands of years. How's that possible? We can't have an author write a book three or four times and have the same conclusions. But over these thousands of years, from Genesis to Revelation, the consistency, the authority, the power of the Word of God to work in the lives of people, that's because it's written by the Holy Spirit. It's not a human instrument. It's not a human product. Yes, it's published by Nelson or it's published by Tyndale. Okay, that's great. But it's the power of the Word of God because it is written by the Holy Spirit. And the scripture for that, by the way, is 2 Timothy 3, verses 14, 15, and 16. Now, the second reason why the Word of God has power is because the Word of God is eternal. The Word of God is not a telegram sent to a specific situation. The Word of God is not an email that is sent on a specific day and time and date and place. The Word of God is a living word. The book of Hebrews makes that very clear. It is a living word, and it has power because it is eternal. It is everlasting. It cannot pass away. Now, I am going to share this scripture with you, and I'd like you to turn to Isaiah chapter 40. This is what it says. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. There's its power. It is eternal. It's everlasting. It's not going to fade away. Now, just think for a few moments. Next Sunday, you probably haven't processed this yet, but it's okay. Jackie will help us with this next week. Next Sunday, we are going to celebrate the persecuted church and the ministries that are going forth to assist Christians under persecution. Christians, or let's say the covenant people of Almighty God, have been persecuted since the day of creation, when Satan entered into the garden to tempt Eve and Adam. And ever since, every day since, Satan has been at work to persecute and to utterly destroy the covenant people of God. Make no mistake, these radical Muslims that are terrorizing right now the Middle East, it is not just their written, announced intention to destroy Israel, the covenant people of God. They don't say that, the covenant people. They just say, we're going to destroy all the Jews or Israel. But make no mistake about it. It is also their intention to destroy all the covenant people of God, and that includes the United States. And if we don't wake up in this nation and stop running around and doing crazy protesting and shouting and screaming and using filthy language and all that that involves, and wake up to the hour in which we live, we do this at our own peril. The announced purpose of Satan is to destroy the covenant people of God. Thus, the persecution of Christians and Jews throughout the world and throughout history. But the Word of God is eternal. I recall back when I was in the seminary in early years of the ministry, there were reports of Bible burnings that were held in various areas of the world. And over history, we would read about where there were attempts to destroy the Bible, the Word of God. And that's when you have to learn something. And we haven't taught this very well. The Word of God is not the Bible. Okay? We make that equation quite often. At least it appears that we do. When we say the Word of God, we're not talking exactly about the Bible. Now, the Bible contains the Word of God, but it is not the Word of God. If you received a letter from your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, that letter would contain their thoughts, their ideas, their concerns, but it wouldn't be them. It would simply be an expression of their thoughts and hearts and ideas. And so, therefore, let us today settle this thought. The Word of God is a dynamic power 10 million trillion times more powerful than can be contained in a book called the Bible or the Scriptures. The Word of God is the Word of God. And that's why it has power. And that's why it cannot be destroyed. And that is why it's eternal and everlasting. Now, finally, number three, why the Word has power. Number three, the Word of God has power because it cannot fail. It cannot fail. That's why today I began this message by reading with you Isaiah 55. As the snow comes down and the rain from heaven, and it does not return without watering the earth, causing the seed to sprout and the buds to flower. The Lord said, so shall my word be. He didn't say it might be, could be. He says, so shall my word be. It will not return to me void. It will accomplish what I purpose. Now, I don't know any other promise that contains that kind of foolproof, safety, guaranteed power and results. People are always hearing about they're going to sell you this something or another that'll guarantee you that you'll be fixed for life. Well, we won't get into that. The Word of God cannot fail. Now, what fails is our ability to see and understand how the Lord applies His Word to certain sins. We pray and we remind the Lord of His Word, and so we look for Him to do exactly as we have spoken. No, that's not how it works. The Word of God works as He chooses, but it cannot fail. It will accomplish what He purposes. Therefore, if Ruth invites people to a gathering of women at the Mary Margaret house, and the word of the Lord is shared through her testimony or through Scripture, it cannot fail. Now, she may not see an immediate result where eight women come and kneel before her and ask to receive Christ. No. But that word is planted. And if you've ever experienced this, you will understand what I'm about to say. if the word of God, the true word of God is spoken to you, into you, you can try to forget it. You can try to avoid it. You can try to change it. You can try all kinds of things. It won't go away. It just stays there. And it comes back to you. And I've experienced this all through my life. I've had so many, I don't know what to call them, arguments with the Lord. He tells me to do something. No, that won't work. We can't do that. But the word doesn't go away. He keeps bringing forth the word. And because the word works, now here's a phrase. Please get this today. I've said it years ago, but I haven't said it lately. The word works. The word of God works. What does that mean? It means it does what he chooses to accomplish. Now, we have to learn to live with the results of his choices. But the word works, and it cannot fail, because it is empowered by Almighty God, and it's his word of truth. Now, let's look at a couple of examples of how the word works with its power. First of all, there's the word of God in creation. I've just marveled. This week, with all the rain, with all of the clouds and overcast, the glory of the creation of Almighty God just bursts forth. Not like if the sun maybe were full shining, but even in the shadows, the glory of his creation is just so evident. How did this happen? Well, one of the greatest tragedies, I think, in all education is when the Word of God was removed from public education. And all these scientific, humanistic, atheistic theories of science and evolvement, all of this began to just literally take over. Word of God doesn't change. Truth doesn't change. That's the exciting thing about truth. Fables come and go. Fantasies, deceptions, they come and go. Truth never changes. It doesn't go away. And the truth is that this world and everything in the universe was created by Almighty God. And in keeping with his true nature and character, how did he do it? Well, he didn't get out a hammer and a saw and an inclined plane. He just spoke. It is written in Genesis, and God said. It doesn't explain how he said it. It doesn't explain for how long. It just said God said. He spoke. And it happened. But it's that way all through creation, all through your life, all through my life, all through history. The Lord God speaks and it happens. Our failure is the failure to see and understand that what is happening is by virtue of the spoken intention and will of Almighty God. His will shall prevail, whether we see it, believe it, or understand it. His will prevail. Thus, the foundation of our faith. Things aren't going that well in so many places. I know that, you know that. But the truth of Scripture is, ultimately, the will of God shall prevail. He shall speak, and it shall happen. And one day, oh, I love to think about this, one day, I don't know when, Father God is going to turn to his Son, the Lord Jesus, and he's going to say, it's time, go. And Jesus will come. He will come. And he will come in his glory and his power, and his eternal reign will commence both in heaven and on earth. Father God will just speak to his Son. Go. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Father God would speak and we would be so quick to obey and to follow and to believe. God said it. That settles it. God said it. That settles it for me. Number two, it says in the book of Psalms 107, verses 19 and 20, we're not going to look this up, trust me on this. It says, God sent forth his word and healed them. Israel was going through a very, very tumultuous time of idolatry, unbelief, and false worship. And Father God was dealing with them in their rebellion. And there came a point where they began to cry out to the Lord, honestly, truthfully, cry out. And Psalm 107, verse 10, 20 says, God sent his word and healed them. He didn't have to perform any magic. He didn't have to send an army. He didn't have to write something in the sky. He didn't have to send a host of angels. He sent his word. Now, to every one of you that is seated here today, Father God has sent his word. Some of that word is in Scripture. Some of that word comes to you through prophetic utterance. Some of that word comes to you in a dream that he gives to you. Some of that word comes to you through the testimony of another individual. But Father God is sending forth his word to each of us to accomplish his purposes, one of which is healing. But so often our faith falls far short. Falls far short. I know we have a lot more trust in this nation in 911 than we do 333. What a shame. And then my third example of the power of the spoken word, just the sheer radical power of the spoken word, I read to you last week when the centurion came to Jesus and announced that his servant, not his wife, not his son or daughter, his slave, was homesick. And of course, I'm sure that meant that the centurion had started to do a lot of things for himself, and it was uncomfortable and difficult. But he had heard about Jesus. And so he came to Christ. And what is amazing, he came with a sense of expectation that Jesus declared he'd never seen or heard in Israel before. Because when the centurion told Jesus about his plight, about his problem, and by the way, you know, when we pray, we don't have to describe to Father God all the details of what's going on in our situation. He already knows that. He already knows that. But if it makes us feel better to recite it back to him, I guess that's okay. But just be sure that Father God requires you to describe to him the details of what you're going through. He knows. In fact, he not only knows what you're going through, he knows the outcome of what you're going through before it happens. So just be aware of that. So the centurion comes to Jesus, and he recites what's going on. And Jesus simply said, I will come. I'll come. Wow, the centurion wasn't expecting that. He's a Roman, for all we know, pagan. Jesus, the rabbi, the teacher, the master. He said, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. I'm not worthy that you should come to my house. Just say the word. I think that's one of the most powerful sentences in the Bible. Just say the word. You don't have to do any hocus pocus. You don't have to do any words. And you don't have to do any ritual. You don't have to do any routine. Just say the word. I have prayed this week that the Lord would give to each one of you who's going to hear this message today, whether you're here, whether you're going to hear this thing on the CD, that he gives to you the faith to believe that all Father God has to do is just say the word. And his will, whatever that may be, will take place. Okay, conclusion, wrap up. Today, Reformation Sunday. We're celebrating the power of the Word of God. We're celebrating the power of the Word of God. First of all, I want us to celebrate the power of the Word of God in Jesus' Lord Church. There's a lot of dynamics, lots of activities, lots of stuff going on at Jesus' Lord Church, even though we're a smaller congregation, a lot of stuff going on. But nothing is as important as the Word of God, the sharing of the Word of God. And so I wrote down for you today four areas where at Jesus' Lord Church, the Word of God is releasing its power. Number one, through personal testimony. As people here give their testimony of what the Lord God is doing, the Word of God and its power is being released, not just to you, but to those whom you tell the story of what you've heard and seen. So we don't know the total outreach of the testimonies. Number two, through the preaching of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God goes out in every message that is truly based and faithful to the Word of God and the Scriptures. And here, that's our chief goal. It's my chief goal for 60 years, to faithfully, as I've been taught, to share the preaching of the Word of God. Number three is teaching. This congregation has been blessed over the years with some powerful teaching. It occurs at Bible studies during the day or the evenings. It occurs during our dialogue hours, where the teaching, not the preaching, but the teaching of the Word of God goes forth. And we are blessed to have people here who are anointed to do teaching. And then finally, the Word of God has power to go forth into and through this congregation through prophetic words. I have lost count. Couldn't possibly begin to count the number of times that Lucy, Carol, Heidi, Rebecca, others in this congregation have stood up and shared with us a prophetic reading. And the power, the dynamic power of that word of prophecy, I don't believe we fully understood that. But there is power in the sharing of the prophetic word of Almighty God. Now my last thought for today, it would be, I think, shame to conclude our message today without a reference to October 31st, 1517. October 31st, 1517, an obscure, unknown Augustinian monk who was attached to the University of Wittenberg School of Theology, through his study of Scripture alone, became convinced that the Christian church was pursuing a path that was in error, a heretical path of untruth. And against the threat of the loss of his own life, on October 31st, he went to the castle church door and nailed a proposal of 95 propositions. They're called the 95 Theses, but they're propositions, statements, that he came to the conclusion through Scripture, set in motion the errors of the church and the correction that is essential from Scripture. Why October 31st? Because in churchianity at that time, festival days always began on the evening before. That was a carryover from Jewish tradition. Festivals began on the evening before the appointed festival and continued until evening of the next day, sunset to sunset. And knowing that so many people from the village, from the city of Wittenberg, would be attending services that night, he nailed those proposals to the church door, and with it, he nailed the statement for his execution. Now, fortunately, he was spared through an emergency operation of taking him away and sparing his life. And as we are told, the beginning of the Protestant Reformation followed and spread through all of Europe and ultimately the world. This story is told in a remarkable book called The 1 Year Christian History. And I highly recommend this to you, that it highlights essential dates and days and events in the history of the Christian church. And so on this day, October 31st, we celebrate the 406th anniversary of the declaration of the Word of God as the only truth. That is why up here on this wall, you see on the banner, Sola Scriptura. Now that's Latin, but the English is very easy. Sola, you know, a solo flight means you're by yourself, only you. Only the Scripture. Sola fide, only by faith. And those banners will hang there for some weeks. But it's not the banners. It's the truth. It's the power of the truth of the Word of God that we celebrate this day. May the Lord bless this day. May the Lord bless each of us in His service. Let us pray. Father, we come again before you today. We thank you, O Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for all of your truth, all of your powerful word that you have spoken over the years. Help us, O Lord God, to lay hold in a new way, a dynamic new way, the absolute power of the Word of God, but also the power of the blood of Jesus, the power of private personal prayer, the power of a living, vital faith, the power of worship in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May these messages, O Lord, bring strength and faith and confidence to all of us in these days. We pray in Jesus' name. And the people of the Lord said, Amen. Amen.